Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Basra Daf Vav. We are holding on here on the Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Yomid Iboilu. The following question was posed in the Beis HaMedrash. So you may recall yesterday we learned that if a person who borrowed money claims that he repaid that loan midway through his term, prior to the loan coming due, so it was betoich zmanu, right? So we don't accept that claim because, as Rish Lakish told us, and that's how we passed, and that's how we concluded, there's a chazaka, there's a strong assumption. It's just human nature. Halavai. We wish a person would pay in time, let alone pay prior to his loan coming due. So there's a chazaka against that notion. Now comes a new interesting question. Iboilu, tovay la'achar zman. So the loan was had come due. Okay, whatever they arranged, a month, a year. Okay, the time's up. Reuven approaches Shimon with my money. V'amalei Shimon responds, I already paid you. When? Way back, half a year ago, before the loan came due. Now, he could have just said, I paid you back today and case closed. He's a kofer hakol, he's fully denied. I paid up. He would walk away winning. He would make a shvuah perhaps, but that's it. Instead, he's claiming that he paid before his loan came due. But you know, if he would be lying, right? What's the concern that he's pretending? Well, he could have provided a more credible lie, such as saying, I paid today, in which case we would have to accept it. So should we just accept his claim as true or not? Tovel Achar Zman, he claimed he came to collect his loan from Shimon after the due date. V'amar lo'i praticha b'tech zmani. Shimon responds, I paid you way back before the loan was due. Ma'hu, what is the halacha in this case? Mi arminin, shall we say, makim chazak. After all, he's going against the chazak, which says that typically people don't pay early. Arminin ma'li l'shaker. Still, can we use this migu, this ma'li l'shaker? Why would he lie? Why would he present a less credible lie? Once he's lying, he may as well lie all the way, in the best way possible, and just say, I paid you today. So perhaps that props him up and gives him credibility against the chazak. Idoma or no? In the face of a chazak, this migu, this twist on his words doesn't really provide credibility, since after all he's opposing a strong presumption that a person will not pay too early. Tashma, we're going to try to prove this halacha from our Mishnah, where the previous wall collapsed. Reuven decided to put up the money. Comes to Shimon and says, look, you know, up until four amos, we're both obligated to rebuild, pay up. Shimon says, I paid you. B'cheska shenosin, the assumption is that he paid up because it's well known that he should be paying. So of course he paid. Ah, sheyovei raishel enosan. The assumption is that Reuven would not lay out the money unless he can prove that Shimon has not reimbursed him. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. Now, what exactly transpired? What was Reuven claiming and when was it taking place? Hechidom, ilei mishetovei la'achar zman. Did he approach Shimon after he completed constructing the wall? And Shimon says, look, I paid you as soon as you finished the wall. Pshita, of course he's believed. Elolav, it must be that there's some sort of twist. Reuven approached Shimon, reimburse me. Shimon says, I paid you a month ago while you were building the wall. And the Mishnah says, he's believed. Alma, what do we see from here? I feel even though you're going against a chazok, typically people don't pay early. We take the migu and say, well, he could have lied with a more credible lie and said, I paid you now. Instead, he opted to say, I paid you early. Apparently, he's saying the truth. So you see that he, mali l'shake, why would he lie? This rationale goes against even a chazok. There you go. No, says the Marshani, here it's very different. The kol shof of a shof is zimnehu. Every row that Reuven built triggers its own obligation to pay, meaning as soon as Reuven finishes a portion of the wall, Shimon should pay him on the spot. Why would Reuven have to lay out? Not fair. Why would he? Right? You don't have to wait till the wall is fully constructed. As he's going along, he should be expecting pay. So when Shimon claims that he paid him throughout the construction process, that's not called toich zmanoi. That's la'achar zmanoi. because it's accepted practice to, you know, once you get started, the other fellow puts up the money to complete the job. Toshimah, here comes another attempt at a riot. From part two of the Mishnah, Reuven rebuilt the wall really high, above four amos. Well, to that extent, he can't demand payment from Shimon. Medalad amos lamala ein mechayv noisa. You can't obligate Shimon. But if Shimon indicated that he's going to benefit from that extension, somach lekoisel acha, right? So Shimon went ahead and built his own wall perpendicular to the first wall, which indicates that he's going to use the first wall as a support for his beams running from one wall to the other. Then Shimon must reimburse Reuven for part of that extension as well. Let's say he claimed that he paid it. We don't accept the claim because it's not common knowledge that he will have to do that. So it's very possible Reuven laid it out and Shimon hasn't paid him yet. Unless Shimon can prove that he paid. End of story. Now, what exactly happened? When did this discussion take place? Are we speaking that he approached Shimon once he completed that wall? Shimon says, well, I paid you as soon as he finished the wall. I paid you as soon as it was due. On my life, why should we accept that claim? I mean, he's just denying straight out. He should be believed. It must be that it wasn't so simple. He claimed that he paid him way back before he completed the wall, and he's not believed. Alma, what do we see from here? Since he's going against a chazaka, people don't pay early, especially in this case where it wasn't really well known they'll have to pay at all. It was Reuven's own project, right? So the chazaka flies against the Mali the Shakar, is not believed. There you go. Answers the Gemara, no, Shani Hach, here it's very different than an ordinary borrower responding to a lender that he paid him, you know, before the time came due. Shani Hach, the Amar mi yemar de mechaybi the Rabbanim, because Shimon can, assumingly, Shimon thinks to himself, who says the Rabbanim are going to obligate me to contribute to this, for this wall? Because it's Reuven's own private, he decided by his own initiative to build this extension, this extra height. Who says I'm going to pay for it at all? Even if I benefit, okay, it's a residual benefit. Who says I'm obligated to contribute and be a partner in the actual expense? So here, it's not so simple. It's not assumed that he would do this unless he gets the bill. So here, we don't believe him that he paid early. Amalei Rav Achabre de Rav L'Ravashi. Toshma, here comes another right. Reuven tells Shimon, look, you owe me $100. Amalei, Shimon says, sure, and of course. Lamacha, the next morning. Amalei Tneilish. Reuven goes to Shimon and says, okay, pay up. Im Amar Nesatav Lachav. Shimon responds, well, I paid you already. Okay, then he's potter. Nothing he can do about that. Eilach Abiyadu, if he denies having it, he says, you don't have the money by me. Chayiv. Then Shimon has to pay. What's the difference between I paid you, or the money is not by me? I mean, pretty much denying the claim in either way, right? Why here is he chayiv, here is potter? Oh, my love, so let's assume the difference is like this. Nesatav Lach, in the first case where he said, I already paid you, the amalei praticha is money. That's referring to having paid when the loan came due. That's what he meant. So he's believed. Ein lecha biyadi, in the second case, when he says, ein lecha biyadi, you know what he really meant? The amalei praticha b'teich zman, he meant, I paid you before the loan came due. By the time the loan came due, you no longer had a claim on me. And what does the Mishnah say? He's not believed. Otani chayv. So what do we see? Alma b'makim chazaka. Since he's going against a chazaka, which assumes he didn't pay early, well, I'm reading a malu l'shakar. He can't even oppose it with a malu l'shakar. Even though in this case, he could have, if he's lying, he could have lied better. He could have been more credible in his lie. He could have said, well, I paid you now. Doesn't that prove credibility? No. Since he's going against the chazaka, we don't take it. Loi says, well, no, that's incorrect interpretation of the Mishnah. My in the chabiyadi, in the second case when he said, in the chabiyadi, you know what that means? Not that he's admitting to having borrowed the money and claiming to have repaid it early or late. No. He's denying totally that he even borrowed the money after having admitted the day before, right? My in the chabiyadi, lo yahayu devar ma'ayim, the transaction never took place. Oh, now he has to pay. You know why? When you say you never borrowed, inherent in that is also that you haven't repaid, right? Why would somebody repay something that he didn't borrow? Okay, so he's pretty much admitting, when he's saying, I didn't borrow, he's admitting that he didn't repay. Okay. And add that to yesterday's admission that he borrowed. So sum total, you have an admission, I borrowed, an admission, I didn't pay. So he has to pay. The Orma, as we learned, when a person claims to have never borrowed money, it says, though he's also saying, I never repaid. And that's why he has to pay. So bottom line, we had a shaila. Do we say amigo against the chazaka? We tried to prove it from our Mishnah, from another Mishnah. Ultimately, we didn't really conclude on that discussion. Okay, but the Mishnah speaks about a fellow who went ahead and built the wall upward, past the 4 amma minimum. Shimon is not required to pay unless he is showing himself interested in benefiting from that wall. For instance, samach lekaisel acher, like we said before, if he built a wall perpendicular to that first wall, which indicates that he's going to use the first wall as his other wall, right, to this new structure that he's building, megalgun olavas hakol, he has to contribute to the first wall as well. Omar avuna samach lepalga, samach lekula. Suppose Reuben built the first wall 10 feet high, 10 amos high. Comes Shimon, he builds a wall 5 amos high. Or he builds only partway along the first wall, not to the total, corresponding to the full width of the first wall. Samach lekula. We treat it as though his wall covers the whole first wall, because ultimately he's going to extend, he's going to expand, he has to reimburse Reuben for part of the entire wall, 50% of the entire cost. Rav Nachman, no, Nachman disagrees. Whatever he indicated that he's going to be using, on that portion you could obligate him, but on the rest. Lamai the samach, the part that he's building next to. Fine, that he has to reimburse for. Lamai the loy samach, the other portion which he's not going near, he doesn't have to pay for. Even Rav Huna, who says, we don't differentiate, you have to pay for the entire thing, he agrees in a case where he's clearly building in a fashion, in a manner which doesn't allow him to fully utilize and fully take advantage of Reuben's wall. Bekarna velufta. Velufta means he connected a karna. So he added at the corner. So let's say Reuben's wall was 10 feet long, right? And Shimon's wall is only 5 feet long, and it takes a turn, like an L shape, towards Reuben's wall. So he's indicating pretty clearly that his wall is terminating right there. He's not going to keep on going. So in this case, he's only obligated for that portion that he's benefiting from. So that's Rav Huna's admission. Rav Huna would agree in this case. This is an exception. Likewise, Rav Nachman would make exception. So all that Rav Nachman says, you're only obligated as per benefit. But let's say he built a low wall. Shimon did. And then he added a frieza, some wooden beams over it, which indicates that he's going to build a roof on that and perhaps keep on going higher and higher, right? Because that's a support for the second floor, right? So apparently he's going up. Or let's say you see that he put some supports for beams, which again indicate that means he made these little holes, right, little windows, into which he's going to insert beams, which are going to run from his wall over to the pre-existing wall that Reuben built, which again indicates that he's planning on building up another floor. So here he has to contribute to the entire expense. Okay, so Reuben laid out the money, he built this really tall wall, and he's claiming that Shimon didn't really pay him for the extra, for the part that's beyond 4 amos. But we find that there are some big cavi, little windows in that wall, facing, Shimon's property, which will theoretically benefit Shimon, which will come to use if Shimon decides to build a wall near Reuven's and run the beams across. So Reuven is clearly accommodating in future construction presented by Shimon. Does that say something about Shimon's paying for that wall? Meaning, would Reuben have done this if Shimon wouldn't have paid him? No, there's no chazaka, there's no basis at all. He can't prove anything from there, as per Shimon paying or not. You know why? Even though Reuben actually put some trim around those openings to protect any future beams, any future wooden beams from moisture, etc. So he's pretty much dressing it up and preparing it for Shimon's construction. Doesn't say anything about Shimon having paid. You know why? Because Reuben could say, look, I prepared it. just in case you decide to pay me, I'll let you use the wall. I mean, I was thinking, look, when you appease me, meaning when you finally reimburse me for this wall, I'll let you use it, and at that point, it's too late. I don't want to bang holes in my wall. Look, Lystra, Ashi, so I don't want my wall to crumble and fall apart by having it banged around, so therefore I prepared in advance, just in case, decide, be a nice boy and pay me. I'm Rav Nachman. Now, Rashi explains, we are shifting to a totally new halach. It's called Cheskas Tashmishin, which means, let's say, a neighbor has been accustomed to using his friend's, his neighbor's property to a certain extent, let's say to have his gutters, his water drip in there, or whatever. And he's been doing this for a while without protest. That indicates that, in fact, he has a right to do so, either because Shimon allowed him, or Shimon sold him that right. And now Shimon can't turn around and terminate that access. But only to a certain extent, only in as much as he's actually using. He can't expand it and extend it and enhance it. Amar Rav Nachman, achsek l'churti. So, let's say Reuven has some sort of wall or whatever, and Shimon lives nearby, and he's using Reuven's wall to support some sort of wooden beams or some sort of structure that he has, right? That doesn't give him a right to pile on heavier beams. Reuven is allowing lighter, small time pieces of wood, but not heavier beams. But if he had a right to use it for heavier, then certainly he can switch it to lighter material. Rabbi Yosef Amar, no difference. If you have permission to use it for smaller pieces of wood, you can put on heavier, because it's assumed that if his neighbor allowed it, he allowed it for all types. He wasn't, going to go check every day exactly what he's putting there. If he allowed him to use it to support his things, so he can put on different types as well. Ikadami, some say, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman himself held as much. Achzak lohurdi, achzak lekshuri, lekshuri, achzak lohurdi, whatever he had permission to use, he can switch it to slightly different types of materials, because it's assumed he had permission for all them. In a similar fashion, what about water dripping or rainwater flowing next door? Amar Rav Nachman, achzak lenatvi. If he had a chazaka to have his water drip off his roof into the neighboring property, achzak leshafchi. Certainly, he's allowed to use a gutter which directs the flow, a downspout, which is actually neater and less random and less disruptive to his neighbor. Achzak leshafchi, achzak lenatvi. If he had permission to use a gutter and have his water flow in a directed fashion, he can't just remove that and have his water drip, drop from his roof, because that's really disruptive. Rav Yezib Amar, no, afilu achzak l'shafchi, achzak l'natvi. If he had permission for shafchi, he can go l'natvi, because it's assumed he allowed him to run his rainwater there in whichever way. Ikadami, some say, Amar Rav Nachman also agree to this non-distinction, achzak l'shafchi, achzak l'natvi, l'natvi, achzak l'shafchi. But even if we don't differentiate between a directed flow to a drip, but because they're pretty close in nature, but Srifa du Urbani is a totally different system, where he has this thatched roof made of branches and stuff. It's like a schach, right? So the drip drop is so horrendous and random and coming at such close proximity, and in that case this heavy drip drop is certainly not allowed. Right, you can't do that. That's not what he had in mind when he allowed you to neatly, have your water run into his property. Right? Is it Amar? No. Even this is allowed. Afilu Trifa de Urbani. Even Trifa de Urbani is not that far apart from the other forms of water overflow, and therefore it's assumed that he allowed him for all these things. In fact, Avad Rabbi Yosef Uvdu, Yosef himself, Paskin Shiloh regarding this type of case, and he allowed the neighbor to switch to the Betzrifa, the Urbani system, despite the fact that it was a bit different than what the fellow was accustomed to until that point. Okay, now we switch to halachas of rentals. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravo, Hamaskir Bayis Lachaveroi, Bibiru Gedol, a fellow rented a room in a large, apartment building. Mishtamish bezizeho ubik soleo adalat amos. So the tenant, not only can he use the interior, he could also use the walls around his apartment, ledges sticking outside the actual interior of the wall. Let's say, from the outside you can reach into the wall, there's like some space to hide things. He can use that as well. It's part of his rental. How far away from his apartment can he go? Adalat amos, until 4 amos away. Meaning he can use the wall up until 4 amis from his apartment, because that's all associated with the apartment. So let's say he has an upper floor and he has like some sort of attic. So in there he can also use Malkin Shenog in a place where they were accustomed to include that in the rental. Rashi explains they used to make this sort of beauty garden outside, which wasn't really meant for personal use. So that area is meant just for aesthetics, and the tenant shouldn't be using, hiding, storing material in the walls surrounding this garden. For Rav Nachman, did they? Rav Nachman himself says no. Afilu betar betzapad, even this area is included. Avor chava shachari abatav leib, but not the storage space behind the building. That's not meant as part of his rental. For Rav Amar, no, even that's included. Afilu chava shachari habat. Continues the Gemara back to the concept of cheskas tashmishin. Amar Avina, haikeshura de metalalta. So this fellow was accustomed to leaning. He started leaning his beam. A beam is a keshura. The metalalta means for shade. He's going to use it to make some sort of canopy, a shade canopy. And he's leaning it against his friend's property, against his friend's structure. Up to 30 days, that doesn't really establish usage rights, because perhaps his friend is just overlooking. It's just, you know, a temporary use. Not a big deal. He's not complaining. But past 30 days, that has an air of permanence to it, right? He should be complaining if he doesn't want it. Now, if there's no protest coming from the other side, Reuben has now established a chazaka, and he may continue making usage of his friend's property in this manner. Sukkah the mitzvah. Now, if he was leaning his support for this sukkah on his friend's structure, then we say like this, ad sheva yayim, up until 7 days, and Tosfos adds that in Chutz Laaretz it's 8 days, well, you have a chazaka, that's not really, it doesn't constitute an establishment of chazaka, because perhaps his friend is just accommodating his mitzvah needs, bas or sheva yayim, but if that would be the reason, he would only, you know, tolerate it for 7-8 days, but once it's past that time, and he's still allowing you to have a chazaka, that's considered an established chazaka. V'chaber betina, but either way, if he connected, you know, with cement or whatever, so he turned it into a permanent type of structure. La'alta v'chazok, la'alta, right away. If he does it right away, immediately he has established a chazok. His friend wouldn't be tolerating it if he wasn't accommodating him. Amar Abaye, shnei batim. Back to the halacha of the privacy wall that will or will not be built based on the circumstances. So we have the Mishnah by us about the chatzer. Now we go to the rooftops that are facing each other. Amar Abaye, shnei batim b'shnei tzidei rishis harabim. Imagine you have Reuven and Shimon living on both sides of the main thoroughfare, and they both have rooftops facing each other, and they're concerned about maintaining privacy. So what happens? So instead of each fellow building a full wall on his side, which is a waste of resources, so we sort of split it up. Each fellow will build a half a wall, and together, combined, it will cover the entire length of the, you know, the will accommodate their privacy needs. So we have Reuven on this side of the street, Shimon on this side. Reuven builds a maka, a proper privacy wall, coming from, let's say, from east to west, but he stops halfway through, and Shimon on the other side comes from west to east and stops halfway through. So each one built pretty much a half a wall, and that sort of covers the whole area, so it's an easy way to compromise. Obviously not opposite each other, but that defeats the purpose. So they stagger it, but he goes a bit across the halfway mark, so that when he's standing at the edge, he can't really see over, so it covers the extra angle. Asks the Gemara, why is this specific to homes which are situated on two sides of a street? I mean, what does this really have to do with this? The issue is that they're trying to protect from each other. My area, which is around, forget about the street. Even if it's a private area, you have the same concern and the same halacha. Answers the Gemara, you're right. But there's an extra twist, extra chiz, extra lesson in this case. There's an extra reason why we discuss specifically this type of case. Perhaps I can think like this. Namalei, the neighbor can tell his friend, Saif, look, ultimately, where are we situated? Right on the street. Either way, you're going to have to protect from the street, so you can't obligate me to contribute to your wall. In any case, you need protection on the street? Kamashmon, the answer is like this. The Amalek, because he could respond, look, you're exacerbating the situation. Rabim, in terms of the public thoroughfare, the traffic walking by. True, they're intruding on my privacy, but only in a limited fashion. By day they see me, and at night, because of the angle, it's dark. But on the other hand, you, who are right opposite me on the rooftop, you see me all the time, 24/7. Inami, another distinction. Rabin, the people walking on the street, when I stand up, they see me. When I sit down, they can't see me when I sit. But you see me all the time. Whether I'm standing, whether I'm sitting. Third distinction is, Rabin, the pedestrians, if they pay close attention and focus, fine, then they notice what I'm doing. But you, otherwise, they're not being ma'ayin, they don't necessarily notice me. But you, even without effort, you see me and you're watching me. And that is the reason why he can obligate him to contribute and make his half of the wall on his side. Okay, so what did we just learn? We have these rooftops facing each other. Each fellow makes half a wall. He makes a railing for half his wall. And the fellow across the street does the same. Well, obviously, I mean, this is the only way to do it. Well, the Shrikhal answers like this. Let's say Reuven initiated and he started building his half, a railing. Now, when he approaches Shimon to complete his half, perhaps namely he can turn to Shimon and say like this. Namely, either if the other fellow can respond, you know what? You're already in the business, you started a building, just finish it up, and I'll pay you for your expenses, or part of your expenses. Shkoil or Zinko, the expenses, take that from me, but after that, cool, and complete your railing. Leave me out of it. This way you're fully protected. Kamashman, the answer is no. To Amalek, because Reuben can tell him, out my timely others, why are you hesitating to build your half? Mishum de Mistra Ashisa, you're afraid of shaking up your wall, right? Ananami, me too. True, I did half. I was compelled to do so, but I don't want to add to my construction stress to the wall. Mishrut le'ashri soy. And therefore, he can obligate his friend to do the other half. Amar v'nachman, amar shmol. What if it's not roof against roof? It's roof near a yard, front yard. Gaga samach l'chatzach haver. So you have a rooftop adjacent to a neighbor's yard. Oysa le'mak gavoy da'ad amis. So the fellow up on the roof, he's got to pay for a wall in between himself and the chatzar, 4 amos high, and we explained this back in Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, because the rooftop usage is seldom. It's not so common like the chatzar usage. So the chatzar fellow can turn to the rooftop fellow and say, look, you're intruding on me. I don't know when to expect you out here. So therefore, it's the gag damaging the chatzar, and he has to pay for the wall. Avamin, gag le gag loy, but between two rooftops, which are seldomly used, you can't compel each other to build a wall. For Rav Nachman, the day Omar, he says, no. Eino yizok gdalat amos. You're right, you can't force him to contribute to a 4 amah high wall. Avol zokuk mechitzas asor, but he could for a short 10 tefach wall. And obviously Abaye, who told us earlier that you have to make a full wall, a makah 4 amahs high, disagrees with this. He holds that between gag and gag, you are obligated to make a wall. So in any case, he says, skip the 4 amah wall, but they have to contribute to a 10 tefach high wall. Asks the Gemara, what's the function, what's the purpose, what's the benefit of making this short partition? Lamai, Ila has agreed to protect from privacy intrusions. Arba amas beinoni, for that you need 4 amas, right? Full height of a person, plus. Ila nitfas olav kiganav, is the point to protect from trespassing. So if you create this little partition, then you know if he's on your side, he's up to some nefarious plans. So if that's the purpose, b'mesipas ba'amos sagi, it's enough to have some markers at the property line. What do you need a partition? Ilik doim betlaim, is it to keep out the animals? Well, you don't need even a wall, just some obstacles. Bechdei, in order, shelo yizdakar, so the animal can't jump in with asroish smoothly, sagi, that's enough, meaning you put up pickets, less than 3 tefach gap between them, that's lovud, it's as though it's closed up because it protects from the animal jumping in. So what's the point of a 10 tefach high wall? Privacy, it's not doing. Animal protection, you don't need that much. Oh, truthfully, it's to protect from trespassing. But if he just puts down some markers, his friend could wiggle out and say, look, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cross over. I was just, checking the property. Omar, I was just checking the square footage of my side, and I ended up on your side. But he creates this partition, then he has no business being on my side. He has no excuse for being on my side. Maybe it comes a kasha. If Reuben's chatzar was situated at a bit of a higher level than Shimon's rooftop,
let's say they're on a, you know, a mountain slope and it comes out like that. Ein is kokin loy. Then we don't force them to contribute to a wall. What does that mean? My love, ein is kokin loy klal. Apparently, we don't obligate him at all. Loy, no, ein is kokin dal damis. You can't force the baal achatzah to contribute to a 4-amma high wall, as we explained before. But he has to pay for a small partition. Alvin is kokin mechitzas asar. It's my. Here comes another shayla. Shtei chatzeres zulam alamisot. We have 2 yards on different levels. So now they're obligated to build a wall. To chatzeres, right? Amar Afuna. Who contributes to what? Says Rafuna Tachtan, the fellow down below. Let's call him Reuven. He has the lower level chatzer. Tachtan boine mikenegdoi voila. He has to start his wall on his level, build it up to the upper level. And once he gets there, right? Now Shimon will kick in and contribute 4 amos going up. So basically he has to finance the wall from his level up to Shimon's level. Shimon doesn't have to contribute to that lower portion. It's not his problem that Reuven is down below. The Elvian and Boinim connect the oil, and the upper fellow will obviously contribute equally to the portion above his level. Rav Chisda Amar says, no, Elvian Messayem Alamato Boinim. No, Reuven does not personally finance the entire lower section. They both equally contribute from the bottom all the way to the top. Because, look, Shimon can't build a wall mid-air, right? Suspending all the... He needs that foundation. He needs not no lower level, which forms the basis of the upper level. Tanik of Asayd Rav Chisda, in fact, we have arrived at this opinion from a Braiser, Shtei Chatzeres, right? Zoylam al Mizu. Layamar Elyon, the upper fellow can't say, look, bring it up to me and then I'll kick in. Hareini Boinim Mekeneg, the Boinim, I'm only going to contribute from my level upward. No, Elam Masayem, Alamato Boinim, he has to contribute from the bottom up. This is the price we had before, that if the chatzer is up higher than the gang, so it's a chatzer near a gang, the baal chatzer doesn't have to contribute at all, because as we explained, it's actually the rooftop fellow who seldom uses his place and is creating a nuisance for the baal chatzer. He has to finance a partition, but not the baal chatzer. So we have many, many halachas in today's daf, very colorful daf. We started with the halacha of claiming a repayment before a due date, right, with a migu against the chazaka. Whether or not it works, we tried several rais. We did not really conclude on that. Reuven built a very tall wall. Shimon doesn't have to pay for that extra unless he's benefiting from it. How much does he have to pay? We have many variations. We have Rav Huna, Rav Chisda. Then we switch to cheskas hashmishin. Right, you can establish usage rights on your friend's property. To what extent? When does it work? How does it work? We had different details on that. Sukkah the mitzvah we discussed, which lasts until 7-8 days. Then we had the halacha of 2 rooftops, both sides of the street. They do a sort of partial partition on each side. We had the halacha of a chatzer near a gag. Then we concluded with the chatzer, zulam al mazu. We had a rayat of chizah, that they both contributed equally from the bottom all the way to the top. All the best, yonatz lacharabah.